Good morning, everyone. There we go. All right. Audio for a second. Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, January 10th, 2008. It is now 6:32 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email us at comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. That two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And folks, today, that is critically important. You need to be kept up to date. And I'm not talking about the stock market averages or anything like that. I'm talking about what is happening to the entire financial structure worldwide and how it's going to impact you. And I use the word impact intentionally. I'd like to read first an email that I received. It's quite lengthy, but it's worth it. It's from Moreno. And it says, "Hello, Joe. Good show on Sunday. The point of the validity of the race or the gender of any candidate that people are discussing is mute. I am not a Barack or Hillary supporter, but the fact of the matter is that no decision should be made based on the race or gender of a candidate. This is simply a diversive and straw man argument that is put up for the mindless sheep to mull over. I am glad that your statements on the show were based on the emptiness of the change that the Obama camp is based on and the socialist attitude of the Clinton camp. To even ask the question of whether the country is ready for a black or female president is completely idiotic and empty. Readiness is apparent when an event occurs, and the event only occurs when one is ready. Think about that for a minute. If a black or female president is elected, that is the time that the people are ready. Furthermore, the question of more relevant when one considers the issues and matters at hand. If there was a black candidate or female candidate that had the same stance, congressional reputation, and views on foreign policy as Ron Paul, they would be or should be the one with his support. It just so happens in this case that the black and the female candidate this time around are for the federal welfare state, and for that should not be supported, in my opinion. I feel that in many cases, Ron Paul supporters choose him based on criteria that he has run on, primarily for reducing the size of government in specific ways, eliminating the IRS and reducing the FBI and CIA, while other candidates are saying they are for change, but don't state specifics, or their specifics are vague and ambiguous. I would also like to believe that Paul supporters would back a candidate that was female or of any race that had valid points that would actually move to return strength to the people. In many cases, I think this is true. When people speak of Cynthia McKinney, who I like to imagine will have a place in the future Paul cabinet, but it is difficult to know since he has not established a race relation view. Not that he is not going to have a diverse administration or that it is an important factor, but it is not established, which is what has opened him up to the race attacks that the mainstream media is now launching. So my point is to say that I am glad that you are focusing on valid decision points. I do hope that Ron Paul wins the presidency, and I think that with all the support he has, a growing majority will put him in office over the corporate figureheads that are running. And that's from Moreno in Arizona. Moreno, thank you very much. I think I may have this a little bit too loud. Moreno, thank you very much. Very insightful. And it's always nice to read something when people agree with you. It's an easy thing to do. I'm going to take the risk of admitting something that when I received the saw the results of the New Hampshire primary, I was extremely, extremely disappointed. Now, I would be skating on thin ice if I said that I was absolutely depressed. But the fact of the matter is, I was almost clinically depressed. And not because Ron Paul lost. And not because he didn't get a majority of the votes or whatever. It's that his showing was relatively poor. I truly expected that people in New Hampshire, with a large contingency of independents, and the people in New Hampshire being so constitutional-minded, would have given him more support than they did. Here is my conclusion. I think that the average voter is ignorant and uneducated. Now, you may have an engineer who's very well educated in the sciences, but not well educated in our form of government, in what's to be expected of our government, and what is especially to be expected of our elected officials. This is hidden from students in school from the time that they start. And that's because we have government schools. And government schools whitewash absolutely everything. They take history and they modify it to make it sound just nicety nice, and that the United States is good and about every other country in the world is bad. And that every president we had was really very, very good and really tried to do things for our country. And all that is garbage. It's absolute garbage. Most of our presidents have been horrible. And they've been horrible for our country because most of them, there are very few, if any, who have ever returned the power to the people. Where our founding fathers said it belongs, and where our Constitution says it belongs. Our Constitution is replete with words such as the government will not, shall not, cannot, does not have the right to, does not have the authority of. All of those words are in our Constitution to prevent a strong centralized government from controlling the people. And the only sovereignty that's indicated in the Constitution is the sovereignty of the states. The states actually trump the federal government. The state governments trump the federal government. And it's all backwards today. In fact, not only is it backwards, but we have become subjects of the state. We cannot move. We cannot do anything without being investigated by the government. Our government has exploded to a point where it is beyond imagination of our forefathers how many people actually work for the government. Now, what I find disturbing is that when people can't find a job, they apply for a job for the federal government. Because you know why? Well, you know why. Because it's a safe job. You don't have to work hard. You get plenty of benefits. And you have a job for life. And it pays well. It pays well over the going wage for the job in the private sector. And why? That's the way the government buys your loyalty. So you become a subject of the state. I don't care how much the government pays you. I don't care how important your job is. You are a subject of the state. You have now bought into the system, and now you will perform functions that are the exact antithesis of what our federal government constitution claims that our government should be doing. In fact, you will be working against the very, very people that you say you're working for. It's the same thing as you find these dictators in other countries, and then people who work for the dictator. Well, they're not working for the people. They may be told they just work for the government, but they're working for that dictator. And whatever the rules and regulations are for that government, that's what they carry out. And we have the same thing now. We have the CIA, we have the NSA, we have the FBI, we have the IRS, we have the EPA, etc. We have more alphabet soup agencies than you can shake a stick at. And all the people who are working for and in these organizations are working against the people. These are the same people who will intrude into your homes. These are the same people who will arrest you. This could be your daughter or your son. And yet, when we get the people running for office, and everyone's disgusted with that. They always talk about, oh, the bureaucracy, oh, the politicians are bums. And then people go out and they vote for the person who looks the best. I am so discouraged. I am so disappointed in the American voter, I can't tell you. I mean, it's hard for me to describe how disappointed I am so disappointed. Yesterday, I called my son, who helps me with the technical pulse of this radio program, said, I'm shutting the program down. He said, why are you doing that? I said, well, I'm preaching either through thin air or to the choir. And I said, if Ron Paul, who's an articulate person, who has millions and millions of dollars and has national recognition and is speaking plainly, specifically to the people, and the people don't vote for him, why in the world would they ever listen to me? Who am I? Nobody. I'm an absolute, compared to Ron Paul, I'm an apt, not even a speck on the radar screen. And I said, I'm going through all of this as my part that I do for liberty, and I think I'm wasting my time. Because people are ignorant, uneducated, and a lot of them are just plain stupid. And when I say stupid, I mean that they're not really retarded, but they won't listen. They don't want to think. And that's a stupid person. Person who has the ability, has the information, but is too damn fat and lazy to do something about it. What we did in New Hampshire is we voted for people. Hillary Clinton cried, and that brought over so many voters. What in the world does that have to do with being president of the United States? Well, I'm glad that she can cry. It's good. It's wonderful. I mean, I don't take that away from her. I think if she gets emotional, she should. I mean, it's a tough racket she's in. I would cry also, and I wouldn't say that that's a bad thing. I say that's a good thing. But it should make absolutely have no weight whatsoever whether or not you vote for her. And as the email that I wrote read to you, he's absolutely right. People are voting on people based on whether they like them, on the personality, and not on what they're saying. Because if they dissected what they were saying, they'd realize they're not saying anything, and then they're going to criticize the politicians for not keeping their promise. They can't keep their promise. They didn't say anything. They said there's going to be a change. And as my son said, sure they're going to change. Things are going to get worse. But no one says that. And the mainstream media give Ron Paul no time. And when they do, they criticize him. Folks, I have come to the conclusion that there is no hope for America. I have come to the conclusion, after yesterday, and I've been close to this for a long time, that America is dead. The America and the American spirit and the America that we all aspired to live in no longer exist. It is dead. We are one big welfare state. Hold on, we have a caller. Good morning, caller. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Your first name and where you're calling from. Thank you for calling in.
This is Guy from New York.
Guy from New York. Guy, how are you?
How are you?
Okay, I'm pretty lousy today. I'm pretty depressed today, but go ahead, Guy.
You close that program down. I'm going to take a plane over to Tulsa. See you and let you know. No, you don't close the program down.
I tell you, Guy, I got to be convinced more than that right now, I tell you.
Look, who hasn't been in your particular place? We get depressed because we see all the people that were all our friends, our relatives, and we know, as libertarians, what's going on. That's because, again, we've done our research. The particular people that we know haven't done their research. Excuse me. Yes, they're fat, dumb, and lazy. Yes, they're ignorant. But it's not really their fault unless they're really fat, dumb, and lazy. Because the government and life wants them to be that way. What else do people want? They want to go to work. They want to come home, take care of the family, watch some football, and have a picnic, play with the kids. You can't blame them. They've been trained to trust the government. Now, until the government actually does something to them outrageously, they're not going to believe the government is really like their enemy. Because once we speak about the government being their enemy, they start thinking of us as being conspiracy government. But they have to do their research.
I know. Let me tell you what disturbs me is that I think Ron Paul has done a good job, Guy. Excuse me. Ron Paul has done a relatively good job of conveying the message out to the people. Now, I did not expect him to win. I mean, if he got 11%, I would have been a happy cat. I would have been doing cartwheels in the street. But I think he received 1% less than Giuliani, you know, a complete scuzzball as far as I'm concerned. And I can call him a scuzzball because he is an Italian from New York. I'm an Italian from New York. I've earned that. You know, I'm from the streets of New York. I can call him anything that I want. There's no prejudice, no malice, you know. And I wouldn't vote for him. I mean, I wouldn't vote at all if he was the only guy running, you know. So my problem is that people are complaining. Ron Paul says, here's the answer. And then they vote for some other jerk who's going to promise them more welfare. And I said, I don't understand that.
Well, you have to put yourself in their particular place. Until you became actually knowledgeable, until you did your research, you had a nagging feeling that something was wrong. But you took it upon yourself to find out why. Now, a lot of people don't have the time to do that. And while they're not doing that, what's the government doing? They're in the newspapers, but the newspapers are controlled by Murdoch.
Right, I agree.
And when I say that's not conservancy. Do you know how many people Murdoch personally reaches out to? 4 billion people on this planet, out of 6 billion. He's got that many TV stations, radio stations, and newspaper outlets. And he's pretty much of a neocon. He loved Reagan. He loved Bush. He probably loved some aspects about Clinton. But until a person really wakes up and has the time to do so, everybody's thinking everything is hunky-dory. This is the mentality of the American people. As long as you don't mess with my taxes, as long as the inflation isn't too bad, as long as I can get a job, everything is fine. So who cares if we're over in Iraq? I'm not the one getting bombed.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
You know, at the time when we were bombed, I myself was on George Bush's side because I hadn't done my research yet, and I thought, okay, if they're going to bomb us, we should bomb them.
Yeah.
Then after I found out about the lies, then again, I started to do more research. And then when you find out that we went into a country that the CIA said, and the CIA is supposed to be on the side of the American dictator, it's not in America. But the CIA said there was no reason to go into Iraq, and we still did. Excuse me, I don't want to say we. I'm not associating myself with Bush. Okay, when I say we, I mean the government. When the government went into Iraq, and then after they were there, then reports came out still verifying there were no WMDs there. then you've got to think to yourself. That's when people really have to wake up and say, okay, my taxes, yeah, they're going up a little bit, inflation, okay, a little bit, but we've invaded a nation that has no reason to be invaded. They don't have an army. They don't have an air force anymore. They don't have a navy. They can't harm us other than a dirty bomb. Now, what's the probability of a dirty bomb? Now, I had written a post, which I had talked about, and I was writing to this particular other poster on the website, and I told her, in order for us to really be terrified by a terrorist, we really have to be threatened. In order to get a dirty bomb, you have to go to the Russian mob and pay $10 to $40 million for a ready-made Russian bomb. Do you think any group of terrorists has that kind of money, except Osama bin Laden? And maybe he's a billionaire, and maybe not. And if they have that kind of money, why haven't they bought the bomb yet? Of course, they're wide open.
No, that's true. Let me ask you, I was going to bring up the subject, Guy, of the situation at the Straits of Hormuz. I see that as another stupid false flag. What the American people cannot understand is that, they think they understand, is that we have the right to be wherever we want, whenever we want, with whatever, and carry whatever weapons we want when we get there. For example, the Port of Hormuz, Strait of Hormuz, isn't that not in the Persian Gulf?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, now, that's the Persian Gulf. That's not the Mississippi River, right? And it's not the Missouri, it's not the Mississippi Delta. It's not the Eastern Seaboard. It's not San Francisco Bay Area. It is the Persian Gulf. We have aircraft carriers that are size of cities floating around the Persian Gulf, you know, and that is okay. But if a Persian speedboat, and we're talking about a stupid speedboat, is going around looking at what is floating around in their waters, we feel that that's a provocation and we should knock them out and blah, 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 blah. I mean, if that's not another false flag, it's a very obvious false flag. And it really bothers me that the American people aren't up in arms saying, well, then get the stupid aircraft carrier out of the Persian Gulf and put it near the Mississippi River, put it in the Gulf, put it on the Atlantic seaboard and protect our shores, not their shores. But we can't think that far. We say we have a right to be there, and they who live there don't have a right to be there. And should that boat get too close, we'll probably blow it out of the water and start an incident, and then, of course, we're going to blame them for shooting first. And the guy had probably a 22, you know, a Smith & Wesson 22 on him, and that's going to be a weapon against a aircraft carrier, and we'll carry on another war. I mean, I'm going to be 65 years old soon. I've seen this several times, and this is just a repeat of history all over again. And
that's not a conspiracy buff talking, because people who are about your age and my age, I'm almost 60, we've got to remember that the Vietnam War, and this is information that came out from the National Archives, declassified information, so you and I are not talking out the wrong side of our body. The Gulf of Tonkin was an incident in which Lyndon Johnson used to provoke us to get inside the Vietnam.
Oh, I know. That was a false flag. I mean, we can go. Exactly. False flags go back all the way to the War of 1812.
Uh-huh. Right.
False flag incidents occurred, you know, the sinking of the Maine. Now they found out that was a boiler explosion, you know. I mean, there's a long story behind that. I know a historian who told me about who gave a speech about that. It was very interesting, about how the Spanish had actually invited the U.S. Navy down there, and we invited their ships in the port of New York. And that was an exchange. And then we used that as an incident and made an incident out of it to start a war. I mean, we got a real dark history, and it really bothers me that the people don't understand Ron Paul's message of non-intervention, and just trading with other people, making friends instead of not and people. And as they asked him, they said, "Well, what about our enemies?" He says, "We have no enemies; we make enemies." And I think he's absolutely right. He's absolutely correct. You know.
Of course he is. But see, people are so full of nationalism, and I don't blame them for that. But When people think that because if they believe the government, they automatically, the logical extension of that is that, well, I believe in the government. Therefore, if the government, with all its power, can prevent other nations from acquiring nuclear weapons, why not? We don't want another Russia. We don't want communism. And that makes sense. But see, what the whole thing is, the particular element that blows everybody's argument out of the water is one word: corruption. We can have big government. We can have neocons, but if we're corrupt in our thinking, regardless of whether we're libertarians or whether we're missionaries, then whatever is good, that good becomes corrupted and then becomes dedicated to, to a goal which is not for the benefit of the American people.
Right. Well, my point is that if we made friends rather than enemies, we wouldn't care if they had nuclear weapons. If they were our friends and we were trading with them, I'm in business for myself. Right? I have my own company, which I'm retired from now, but it's still going on, and I walk in once in a while and aggravate everybody. But, you know, but if I have a good customer, is that person my enemy? No, he's my livelihood. Why would I, you know, I bend over backwards to make this person happy. Now, why is that not the same in international trade? Well, there is no difference. But governments make it different so that they can impose certain restrictions on the people for some other benefit, which does not benefit the individual. And we can't see that, and that's why I'm so discouraged. And, oh, by the way, Guy, let me interrupt one other time. I only have about a minute and a half left on the air before I go off, okay? So do you want me to continue going?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to give it one more shot, okay? I'll broadcast my regular time on Sunday evening. I tell you, I was going to.
Hey, listen, I don't blame you for being discouraged, but from little acorns, great oaks grow.
Yeah.
So remember that.
I know, but I tell you, I'm getting really, really discouraged with the American people. Guy, I want to tell you thank you very much for calling in, Guy. I'll talk to you again. I have to sign off now. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Joe. I'll be talking to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Well, folks, that was a call from New York early in the morning. That sounded good. Encouraging words. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. And remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, folks, please don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.